The ruble sinks to its lowest level since March as oil prices continue their slide, spelling more trouble for the Russian economy. Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing. My name is Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast here at RFRL. Joining me here in the studio to discuss the things we expect to make news in Russia this week is RFRL senior editor Steve Gutterman. Welcome, Steve.
Thanks, Brian.
Well, it's all pretty fluid, Steve, but the ruble fell sharply in early morning trading today. As we went into the studio, it was hovering around 62, 63 to the dollar, 68, 69 to the euro. Recall the ruble sank to nearly 70 to the dollar back in January and then staged a remarkable recovery, reaching 49 to the dollar in April. So the Russian currency has essentially given up all its gains this year. Steve, what do you see driving this volatility, and where do you see it going?
Well, it looks like what's driving it is mainly oil prices, which have been falling, as you said, for weeks now. OPEC is apparently saying that they predict that the prices will increase back to about 60 by the end of the year. They're now, I believe, about 53. Mm-hmm. So that would help Russia a bit. But there's others on the market, in the derivatives market. Those traders are predicting through trades that the oil price could fall below 50. So, you know, that would be bad news.
Which would be catastrophic for the Russian economy.
Yeah, absolutely. And, aside from oil prices, there's also the continuing sanctions, which with the situation in Ukraine, there's no real hope that they'll be lifted anytime soon, and persistent problems in the Russian economy. I mean, one thing that's happening is right now Russia's caught between the ruble's fall and the need to stimulate the economy by cutting interest rates. They tried to balance the two on Friday. They made a cut in the interest rate, but it was the smallest so far this year.
It's the fifth this year, if I'm not mistaken, but the smallest.
The fifth, but the smallest, yes. So I think they were thinking, okay, we need to cut, we need to stimulate the economy, but we're afraid that the ruble is going to fall even further. So they cut it by a half point. So, you know, those are some persistent problems that are continuing to make Russia's economy volatile and...
They're also on the horns of a dilemma in terms of what to do with currency reserves, because they had been propping up the ruble and depleting their currency reserves. If they replenish their currency reserves by buying dollars and euro and foreign currency, then that only serves to weaken the ruble. So there's kind of a paradoxical situation there as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Bloomberg had a piece today saying they expect the ruble to be the world's most volatile currency. Do you think we're going to see a long term decline of the ruble, or is this kind of these heavy fluctuations? And it's been like really fluctuating. Like I said, I mean, it went as low as 70 to the dollar. It recovered to 49. Now it's back at 62. And this is just this year.
Right. And I guess the volatility has something to do with just the political situation and the way the way politics affect the economy. And, to what degree is the rise of the ruble this year kind of a staged event?
Yeah, and it's looking more and more like that was the case. I mean, the ruble was the world's best performing currency for a while. The last month, it's been the world's worst performing currency. It's really like again, Russia's a country of extremes, and we're seeing it with the currency now. It was the worst performing currency at the end of last year, best performing currency at the beginning of this year, and now again, the world's worst performance. It's not found any equilibrium.
And it's not really just it's erased its gains, as you said, but that's also, I mean, in January they were touting look. We've weathered this. This is,
right.
And now it's like, no. So
so this will probably be an ongoing and continuing thing. And what we saw in the earlier part of this year was just a blip, a staged recovery. More
could
or
be.
Less. Yeah. All right, we'll move on to some other things. I know, Steve, you just got back from vacation in the U.S.
That's right.
And you noticed some interesting contrasts with what we see in Russian media and what you see in the U.S. You can't turn on the Russian TV these days without hearing about the United States. I mean, most of it's negative. A lot of it's conspiratorial. Much of it is way over the top. But you said, as you got back from the U.S., you said you've noticed a conspicuous lack of attention to Russia in the U.S. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, it's something I've sort of always noticed in traveling kind of back and forth between Russia and the U.S. In the past for a couple decades. You know, there's always more interest in the United States, you know, among Russians, in the government, the media, and even regular ordinary people, than there is in Russia, the interest in Russia in the United States. And you'd think that this would have changed since the Ukraine crisis began, because, I mean, now policymakers in the U.S. are paying more attention to Russia.
Right.
You know, it's become a more serious thing. But, I mean, I was there for a few weeks. Really, the only news I saw about Russia on the TV news was on the anniversary of the MH17 downing. And those were, you know, not very extensive reports. And the politicians, there's a lot of talk about the campaign is starting in the U.S., but Russia will be a factor in it. But there was nothing about Russia. Nothing about Russia.
It's not going to occupy center stage in the
campaign. No, exactly.
And
so, you know, you'd think that this would have changed, but no, you know, it reminds me of that movie or whatever it was. He's just not that into you. I mean, you have
right.
Putin. Putin's talking about the United States in all his big speeches. You know, it's in the media all the time. It just seems to be the focus, you know, for good or bad. And the last year or so, it's been obviously bad. With the Russian media castigating the United States and the government also doing that, but you know it seems like an unbalanced relationship where you have this focus on the U.S. That Putin's been making kind of almost really the basis of his you know part of his popularity in the last few years.
It's almost like a desperate cry for attention. If you
right, I mean you start to wonder is this you know is really what. You know what Putin wants and what the Russian government wants. You know, is it they want to be noticed?
Right.
You know, and you said, you know, people say, you know, fear. If they fear you, then, you know, that means they respect you. And you know, I think there's something to be said for that. The idea that after the Cold War, you know, still looking for this kind of equality superpower
right.
status,
and it doesn't appear to be coming anytime soon. And that's all we have time for today. You've been listening to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at the stories making news in Russia this week. We'll be doing this every Monday, so be sure to tune in. I'm Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast, and joining me has been RFURL senior editor Steve Gutterman. Join us again next week, and now I leave you with the soothing sounds of Noise MC.